You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We all know that the internet and artificial intelligence are changing the way we live. We fret about how distracted we've become or about whether robots will take our jobs. And those are real concerns. But my next guest says that computing technology is, or at least should be, forcing a much deeper introspection and transformation in the ways that we seek to understand the world around us and predict what's to come. David Weinberger's newest book out this month is Everyday Chaos. He's previously the author of The Clue Train Manifesto, and he's a senior researcher at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Heather.
Multiple physicists over the years have said to me that all of science is based essentially on a leap of faith, on an assumption that there are discoverable laws and constants that govern the universe and that we can understand them, you know, given sufficient technology. Your underlying idea seems to be that, in fact, the world is so complex that we will never be able to understand it, and maybe we shouldn't even bother. Does that not disturb you at all?
Well, when you put it like that, yeah, completely. I'm frightened. So you jumped immediately to the hardest point for me. And I think I'm not capable, and I'm not sure that we are capable of resolving it. I certainly do not want to be in the position of denying science. That's an easy starting point. Or the sorts of laws that science has discovered over the centuries. I'm not about to pick an argument with Newton. You know, that would just be foolish. So at the very least, I think that machine learning in particular is teaching us that the fundamental covenant, which you just referred to, is not as solid as we had hoped. The new thing about machine learning is that you feed it in the data. You don't tell it how you, the human, think this data should go together, what the general principles and rules and laws are. And instead, it just iterates on this massive amount of data, and it finds correlations, and those correlations can be extremely detailed. And building a neural network, a model that is so complex that at least in some instances, we literally cannot understand how the machine outputs its results, what the processes were. And that presents a model of models where there may not be generalizations, at least of the sort that we recognize. Just millions of particulars.
So give us an example of where, I mean, we can all think of examples of having enormous amounts of data that we would want to make sense of. But give us an example of machine learning being able to better or in a more useful way, I guess, make sense of that. And in particular with this last point that you were making, that it's not necessarily generalizable, that it's not trying to get to principles. It's just trying to get to one specific answer for one specific question.
Any of the applications of deep learning, which is a type of machine learning, are likely to meet those criteria. So there are examples in diagnostic software where patient records, hundreds of thousands of patient records, in one instance with 500 data points on average for each of those records, have been fed into a system without any instruction to the system about even that, you know, This is data about medications. This is data about symptoms and results. And now connect them. You don't even tell them that. You just give it these big piles of numbers. And some of these systems can predict the onset of diseases more accurately than humans can. And in some instances can predict the onset of diseases that humans simply cannot predict. It turns out that from retinal scans now, machine learning is able to offer up information about heart health and also about age and gender and other stuff that we didn't know was encoded in retinal scans. And both computer scientists and scientists, you know, heart scientists have looked at these scans and tried to figure out what about them tells the computer what somebody's cholesterol level is or what the gender is. And at least so far, we can't figure it out. And yet there is some promise that maybe at some point we'll be able to just have our retina scan and get a readout of our heart health.
Those are all very promising. But to say that deep learning or machine learning builds a model of the world independent of humans is not strictly speaking true, because humans are still feeding it data. And we have learned more and more as these algorithms have cropped up in more and different parts of our lives that what data gets used to train a learning algorithm can be critically important. And to your example about trying to diagnose patients, if the patients that are in that system only represent certain ethnicities or only a certain limited part of the genetic variety of the human race, then in fact, the predictions that might come out of that could be horribly skewed. And we also see that in the criminal justice system with sentencing algorithms that try to predict who might be a flight risk or who might be at risk of becoming a repeat offender. And those algorithms end up reflecting and amplifying the inherent racism in our criminal justice system. So can we really afford to trust machine learning without understanding how it's getting from A to B?
100% right, and hugely important. Hold off for the moment on the hugely important question of whether we want to use them. It is absolutely right that humans are not independent of these systems. We are placing the sensors around the world, gathering the data that matters to us for one reason or another. That is a social activity. And what we choose to gather is deeply embedded in the set of beliefs that we have about what things affect others. I mentioned a diagnostic system that worked off of patient records. These, just as you're saying, these patients were all within, or generally within, one area of New York, and that has enormous socioeconomic, gender, racial implications. Even regardless of that hugely important fact, it was based off of hospital records. That's already a decision by humans about what sort of data we think matters to health.
Right.
Right? And that, I think, is inevitable, because information is not a natural artifact. It's something that we create that has very consequential effects. Nevertheless, the model of models that AI gives us is, I think, very unlike the model of models that we've been using in order to understand our world.
David Weinberger, in Everyday Chaos, it's largely a forward-looking book, but you also trace the history of how we got here. And it was really interesting to me, living in a society which you describe as being somewhat obsessed with prediction. We want to know what the weather's going to be like in an hour, in a day, in a week, so that we can plan for that. We want to know what the economy is going to do. We want to know what's going to happen with elections and all sorts of other things. And you say that hasn't always been the case. And you go back actually to ancient Egypt and ancient Greece and say these were, very advanced intellectual societies that weren't really based around or that concerned with prediction. And that to me seems fundamentally kind of foreign and hard to even imagine.
Well, that's because it's foreign and hard to imagine. That's how history works, right? I mean, so in ancient Egypt, there was not a lot of change. It was a cyclical environment. The Nile overflowed pretty predictably, so in our terms, pretty predictably with the seasons, which were marked by astronomical events, the appearance of the dog star, or whatever it was. There was not – the conditions for what we recognize as predictions are things like a sense that there are things that we can know that let us predict what will happen, to see what will happen. But enough variation and enough randomness in those predictions that we can talk about this thing that we call a prediction.
Then, David Weinberger, what is, in your mind, the take-home? I mean, I understand that it's completely ironic to ask you after this conversation to predict the future. But what relationship do you see emerging between human pursuits of knowledge, our societal desire for predictability or some understanding of what's likely to happen in the future, and these new technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, that understand or at least make sense of the world in a fundamentally different way?
The premise of my book is in some ways, if we assume that technology, our tools, have tended to shape our understanding of ourselves and especially our minds, and historically I think that's the case. If that's the case, then also assume that machine learning is going to be a dominant technology, which I think it is well headed towards. Then how might that change how we think about who we are and what our position in the world is, which is, I understand, is a very big question, and I don't pretend to have anything like a full or even adequate answer to that question. But that's basically the question of the book.
It is, and that's the question that's on many people's minds, and I think spurs these very deep fears of a robot takeover, that our place in the world will be supplanted by intelligent machines.
Yeah, you know, that's I think that's a good fear to have, but I view it as if we were to say, which is, I think is only a bit of an exaggeration, that we are currently going through a moral panic about AI. From my point of view, much of that's real, and we need to be dealing with for sure. But I think part of it is also based in a metaphysical panic that AI's model, the machine learning model of models, its way of thinking about how the world goes together, so far surpasses, is so different from and surpasses our ability to put pieces together. We've had to use generalizations in order to make sense of the chaos. And we've obviously, as a species, we've done a pretty good job at that. Machine learning does not rely upon those generalizations. It's piece to piece in a gigantic net in which everything happens all at once and everything affects everything else. That seems to me to be a more true picture of how the world works. Now we have a tool in machine learning that enables us to make some predictions and to do a bunch of things faster than we could before, sometimes incredibly much faster. We use it because it works. That model of models, I think, I'm actually a little more hopeful than I think many people are, because I think that model of models serves some salutary purposes. First of all, as I say, I think it is a more accurate depiction of how the world works. I think, second of all, it's probabilistic. It's humbling. And if we start to learn from this that all that we see and believe should be, we should be gauging in terms of it's how certain we are and make that part of the discourse, then we maybe can advance beyond, sort of in the sense of maturity about who we are in the world. If we can learn from this experience with machine learning that explanations are tools, they are incredibly useful tools. They're not the only tools that we use in order to control systems and to get what we want from them, even pre-AI even. If we can learn that explanations are tools and that understanding is a tool as well, then I think we start to gain some of the humility and perspective that is more reflective of our tiny position in an overwhelming world. If it helps us to see more of the world, what we've written off as accidental or because we don't see exactly how it fits or the data is beyond our capacity, if we start to see the world more for what it is, then I think we are at a really important and exciting inflection point in our history.
David Weinberger's new book is Everyday Chaos. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Until next week, I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.